Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Well, we got something. It may not be a lot of points, but we got something. Early in the fourth quarter, the national championship game, Alabama has just kicked their fourth field goal of the night. They now trail Georgia 13-12. Again, just under 13 minutes left to go in this game. And what happened the last couple of minutes? Alabama drove downfield. And I'll tell you what, Mike Harmon, I know that quarterbacks don't want to get hit. I get this. But all night long, we talked about at the beginning of the show, Georgia has pinned their ears back and has gotten in the backfield on Bryce Young all night. And Georgia is completely in his head, and every throw he is making is off his back foot. Now, I get that sometimes, okay, yeah, I get you don't want to get hit, but man, it's third and goal on the 3-yard line. And he decided, I'm going to try to throw to a receiver stepping off my back foot, and he throws it wild, where if he stepped into the throw, yes, he gets hit, he gets crunched, but he throws a touchdown that gives Alabama the lead. I mean, Georgia is completely in his head right now, and I get it. You don't want to do it, but every throw is off his back foot. You got to step in and make a throw, all right? I know you don't want to get hit, nobody, but it's tackle football. You're going to get hit. You got to get in there and do it, and if I'm Nick Saban, that's what I'm telling him on the sideline right now. I'm like, dude, this is the national bleeping championship, man. You get hit, you got to step in and deliver that football, all right? Because you're not going to do it. Your receivers aren't going to bail you out because you're without your two best receivers. You were missing one coming into the game, and Jameson Williams has been out since the middle of the second quarter of this game. So you need to do something, man. Yeah, you got to step into those throws, man, to make sure they get on target, because that third down throw, that was a huge miss because he had a receiver open, but he wanted to throw it off his back foot and sidearm, and that just didn't do it.
Just no touch there, right? A little bit of a loft and let him run into it heading towards the corner to in the back of the end zone. Instead, another field goal. So we'll at least have our close game, even if it still isn't a pretty game. But the numbers are starting to look better. So when folks get to do this in the background, after this game is over, third down efficiency, Alabama now up to 7 of 15, buddy. So it looks a lot better, a lot tastier than it did coming out of that first half. But to your point, getting some big plays on the ground. And that's the thing. He had stood in earlier in the game, and now it's the quick trigger. Again, we talked about the speed and trying to make sure you're getting the ball off and getting your receivers throwing them open. But you got to give it time to develop, especially – as you noted, missing your top options, Williams not being there. You got young guys stepping in, and the vexed look on Saban's face going into halftime about told you how ready necessarily, how ready he thought these guys were for prime time. Well, but here they are. Got to go make plays.
Mm. I mean, you can't just keep slinging it off your back foot and think it's going to happen. Right, you can't. I mean, you can't. With how good you are athletically and how good Alabama is, yeah. But this is a defense that clearly has been dictating play the entire night. You want to talk about where the MVP is? Who's doing this? It's Georgia's defensive line and their linebackers, and they have been disguising their blitzes. They've been getting into the backfield unblocked on almost every play. And it's not like Alabama's not doing it either. Alabama's getting in the almost on every play against Georgia. But Georgia has hit that big running play, and they're able to convert in the red zone and for a touchdown. That's why they have the lead. So this is the kind of game it's been. But at the time, you have to understand that, man, this is what it requires to win a national championship. You can't sit back and throw off your back foot and try to win it all. So I would hope that we would see a different Bryce Young the rest of this fourth quarter. But George, like I said, Georgia is in the backfield saying, "Hey, Bryce, here I am," and it's full runs, right? It's he can see the guys coming, and they're so fast, they're in his face right away. No one's got a time for 5 yards to turn around. It is very difficult, but you are the Heisman Trophy winner, so I don't think I'm asking too much.
Well, I think it does speak to, as we were breaking down some of the NFL from yesterday, getting into the end of the regular season, same thing, right? It's that one extra beat on a throw. Just, you wait for it, let the guy get one more step. You have to stand in tall, and that means you're going to get wrecked. But sometimes you make a business decision. can't do that in a national title game.
Man, I'm telling you, this is Cam Newton not jumping on the football in the Super Bowl.
Not me.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studio. So we'll have more on this game. It looks like Alabama's going to be getting the football back, or could be getting the football back, as there was a fumble ruling on the field that is being reviewed. Watching the play on replay, Bennett is getting taken down, and he throws the football. Yeah. Looks like he's in control of the football throwing it. But it's ruled a fumble on the field by Georgia. This is deep in their own territory. But it looks like he is trying to throw the football. Now, the big thing is, does the ball slip out of his hand as he's throwing it? Because the ball kind of goes straight up in the air. So being ruled a fumble on the field is a big deal. But it could be an incomplete pass as well. So we're waiting
that one,
on that.
That one seems pretty easy overturned for me. But look, it's officiating in 2021, 2022. For these seasons, who the hell knows what you're going to get when it comes out in the wash. I mean, we saw that how many times over the course of the last 72 hours, going back to the games of Saturday through all of yesterday, I mean, you and your Jets, and then into this. I mean, I just don't know what to expect anymore. What seems obvious is no longer.
Man, I'll tell you. Again, waiting to see, because Alabama did recover the fumble inside the 20-yard line, if it stands, so we'll wait and see. The one thing I will tell you is that every time, you know, as well as Stetson Bennett has played and as big a story as he's been, every time I see him and interacting with Kirby Smart is just screaming at him. Like, this, as well as he's played, it's just Kirby Smart is just, like he's so frustrated with him. It's like, you get so mad at him on the sideline.
Well, everybody keeps looking around going, when's JT Daniels coming in?
Are we sure? Because, you know, he's a walk-on. Are we sure? You know, we got a walk-on here.
Or is he already in the, you know, transfer portal again? Yeah. I don't know anymore.
You can still play NB. I think you can play NB in the transfer portal. In fact, I think you can commit to another team and still play for your old team now. I think that's the rule.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, it's a fluid situation.
Yeah. So again, 13-12, Georgia with the lead. Still a lot of time left here, just under 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So listen, everything you've heard all day, I guarantee you, about the end of the Charger-Raider game last night is wrong, right? Everything people have said about Brandon Staley is wrong. First of all, the best part of it is there's been three games in my lifetime that I can say, oh my goodness, I'm never going to forget this, no matter what. And it's the Bills-Giants Super Bowl wide right. It's the Chargers and the Dolphins 41-38, the 1981 playoffs, and that game last night. The drama, every play was filled with so much pressure, and Justin Herbert is a freaking superstar. Every fourth down, every third down, he's finding a way to get the ball to his. He completed a touchdown pass on 4th and 20, somehow getting the ball in for a touchdown. It was one of those games. But of course, it comes down to the end, and the Raiders, were they trying to settle for a tie to send both teams to the playoffs? But then when Brandon Staley calls his timeout with a minute left to go, the Raiders then decided we're going to go for this and try to kick a field goal and win the game. All right. First of all, this is not on Brandon. That part is not on Brandon Staley. Okay. The timeout had zero impact on what the Raiders were doing.
I will say this, though, related to the timeout, the only problem I had with it is that he didn't take it at 1:15. Because then you're forcing decisions. You know, assuming that you actually do your job on third down, which is the other part of this.
Well,
but you let 38 seconds go off the clock.
Well, you know
why? Before calling the timeout.
I'll tell you this. I bet you he called, and we heard the reasons why. He said, I want to get the right personnel group on the field. And it turns out they didn't. Right? That was a great. Emmanuel Acho had such a great breakdown of that play by, look at the guys who are on the field, and this is why Jacobs is able to run for the first down, because the player here doesn't know his assignment and doesn't get into the gap right there. You know why he called timeout? I guarantee you this, and no one said this. He called timeout because he didn't know what was going on. Are the Raiders playing for a tie? Are they going to let the clock run out? I don't know what they're doing. Timeout.
But here's the thing. He couldn't have let the clock run out. It was there was at least going to be.
Well, he didn't want to get
caught.
There
was 5 seconds left on the play clock.
He didn't want to.
Let's at least get to that.
Right. Well, he didn't want. You know why? Because he didn't want to get caught with the Raiders doing something he wasn't ready for. And with 5 seconds left on the play clock, and they're saying, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? It's a lot of tension and a lot of pressure. So he called timeout to figure it out. He didn't want to go in.
See you sweat, baby.
He didn't want to go into that third down play and have the Raiders suddenly throw it for a first down or do something they weren't ready for, and suddenly, boy, Brandon Staley wasn't ready for the Raiders, wasn't ready for Derek Carr to go deep to Darren Waller, whatever it is. So he called timeout just to settle things because he didn't know what was going on. I guarantee you that's why they called timeout. You can say we wanted to put a group in here, we wanted to do this. He called timeout because things were getting out of control because he didn't know what was going on with the Raiders suddenly running the football. And it was, wait, they're driving down the field and they can score and win. Wait, why now are they running? And this is where...
because the Chargers can't stop the run. Well, but that's a whole other... That was the big secret for everyone.
Yeah, of course,
one of the
worst
run defenses in the NFL. Sorry, Frostburg.
They're
running
terrible.
The football.
No, it's terrible. Look, and this is where it all comes down to, is that when the Raiders got the ball over midfield and they had the first down with 2 minutes left to go, this is where the Raiders said, okay, we have all the power in this game. If we screw something up, don't get any points, and give the ball back to the Chargers, we can lose this game, and now we're not going to the playoffs. So let's run the football a bit. We can take the clock all the way down, and we can run on them, and if we get close enough for a field goal, we'll kick it. And if we don't get close enough, then the clock will hit zero, and we're both going to the playoffs because it's a tie. That's what the Raiders were thinking, right? Because that's exactly why they ran. Because if they really wanted to just kneel on the football, if they really wanted to say we're playing for a tie, they would have knelt on it, right? Because it had been so much ridiculously stupid talk all week long about both teams should just kneel on the football for 60 minutes. And I guarantee you, the vast majority of people who said that never played a down of organized sports in their life. Never played a game. Well, I don't know why you don't just kneel on the football. My analytics. I guarantee you none of those people ever played sports. But that's what the Raiders had. They had the ball with 2 minutes to go. They know the Chargers can't keep stopping with time. They're not going to start calling time. And if the Chargers do start calling timeouts, well, then we're just going to sit there and continue to move the football down the field, right? That's what they were doing. But their plan was, we're going to run, and if we get close enough for the field goal, we kick the field goal. And if we don't, then the clock runs out, and we're going to run the final 20 seconds off the clock without running a play, because we're not going to kick a field goal from 55 yards. We're not going to risk the low kick needed and the block and the Chargers run it back for a touchdown. So if we get close enough, we'll kick the field goal to win. But if we don't, we'll let the clock run out, right? So they weren't playing for the tie. They said after the game, we made our decision after Jacobs ran for the first down. And that's what people keep misconstruing all day. He said they just made their mind up when he ran for the first down. Yeah, after that play, not after the timeout. After the timeout, they were still running the football. The Raiders are still calling running plays, trying to get yards. The Raiders are not kneeling on the football or running into the middle of the field for field position. That's what they would be doing if they were playing for the tie specifically. But they said, we're going to run the football and try to kick a field goal, and our fallback is we let the clock run out, and then it's a tie. That's what they are thinking, and that's how the game went. The timeout that Brandon Staley called didn't change anything. The Raiders were still going to run a running play on third down, and the Chargers just had to stop it, and they couldn't because their run defense is absolutely terrible. So that's why they lost the game. You can put a lot on Brandon Staley. The whole, I'm going for it on fourth and two for my own 18. His fourth down gambles have been abysmal and cost the team 2 wins this year. Last night is one of them. But that timeout, I can't put it on him. It just seems like a convenient narrative storyline where I'm hearing people say, well, the Raiders didn't know what they, like, neither team knew what they were doing. And the Raiders, well, we don't know what we're doing. Oh, well, let's go for the field goal because we have time to talk about it. Like, because they called a timeout, the Raiders had 30 seconds. Let's gather our thoughts. No, the Raiders knew exactly what they were doing, and the Chargers on the other side didn't. But the main thing is, if they stop Josh Jacobs on that third down, and it's suddenly fourth and seven from the 44-yard line or 45-yard line, they're not kicking that field goal, and both teams are going to the playoffs. So if you want to talk about it, it's the Chargers not being able to stop them on third down. The Raiders had all the power. It was is field goal number one. We're not going to throw the football and risk an interception. We're going to run it and do it. And if that doesn't work, then we'll let the clock run out on the final play of the game. That third down run by Jacobs would have gotten to back to the line of scrimmage, and you would have watched the clock tick from 30 seconds down to zero, and the game would have been over, and both teams are going to the playoffs. That's what happened.
Well, Chargers still had timeouts, right? And if you'd actually called it at the 1:15 when Jacobs is tackled after the 7-yard run, now it's third down. You got to figure this out, right? And again, it comes back to making a stop. And it's like any flow of a season, flow of a game. So many people, if they'd only beaten Houston. Well, you don't know if you're winning the next week if you beat Houston. So stop it. It's silliness. Like, you don't know how your team's going to respond after games. So going back and going, well, if we'd won here, we would have been in. And so many teams were doing that. Well, a win here or for the Raiders, if we hadn't blown this game against the Bears, this would have been moot. But what I would like to throw out here is the idea that the Raiders, we're going to let it run. And that philosophy, it's like, yeah, it's nice to needle the division opponent you just vanquished, whose coach is getting roasted on an open spit for decision making. Yeah, push that narrative as hard as you can to make their offseason that much harder. Not to mention they need to go find a right tackle. Go get it. But it's so many other things, so many other drops, so other moments in the game. The 4th-and-2 decision is just always going to be one that stands out. But at the end of the game, I'm not banking that the other guy. This is in The Princess Bride when he's trying to poison dude. Right, and playing the game with the cups. Well, how do I know that you know that? And going back and forth, that was it. How do I know you're playing for the tie? Was there a nod and a wink, a synchronized handshake in the back corridors of things before they got started? I'm not trusted that that's what they're doing. And I still stop them on third down. Let's see what the decision is there. Is it a punt? Because all the talk of the fearing of the block, what's the percentage on that? Right, if we're going to go all analytics on things, I know it happens, but does it happen that frequently that this is the only consideration? It is Daniel Carlson. Good field goal kick. It's just all bluster, and everybody wants to get all into hot take nonsense. Fire him! Come on. Get over yourselves.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Alabama in the end zone. Bryce Young with a 3-yard touchdown pass. They go for two. Don't get it. So Alabama now leads Georgia 18-13. 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. But there you go. You want to know what the Raiders were thinking? That's what the Raiders were thinking. It wasn't about the timeout. That is an ill-conceived take. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service. If you're having trouble starting your car, AutoZone will test your battery for free and help you find the issue so you don't spend money on parts you don't need. With over 5,600 locations nationwide, AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply, so get in the zone. AutoZone. More NFL, more from Black Monday. Keep it right here. Jason and Mike, this is Fox.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, where it looks like this game may have a few more offensive secrets and surprises to it than we expected. Right now, 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and now suddenly, after nearly three quarters without a touchdown, we now have three. Stetson Bennett with a long touchdown pass for Georgia. They don't get the two-point conversion. So they have the one-point lead over Alabama right now, 19-18. Just judging this game, Mike, the last few minutes, it's been dominated for the entirety by the defense, right? Defense been making plays the entire night. Both teams' defenses have been on the field a long time. They're making plays in the backfield. There's a lot of negative plays. But it looks like the defenses might be getting a little tired because you just saw there's chunk plays out there for Georgia. It looks like there's some chunk plays out there a little bit for Alabama. So I think we may wind up seeing one of those shot-for-shot final 8 minutes here where you're seeing more big plays in this last quarter than we saw in the first three. Just because if you get all the defenses need to do is get a little bit tired and the offense is going to start moving the ball down the field pretty easy.
Yeah, we've also seen early in the game, while there were a number of penalties called, I think there were 9 at the half, 7 for Georgia, there were still a lot of hand fighting going down the field, DBs, a little clutch and grab, and really no calls. Like even on the interception that Young had thrown earlier, like that guy's being held all the way down the field, but no call. Okay, fine. Now you've had a couple of pass interferences on the touchdown that you just saw thrown by Bennett. You know, it was a free play, throws it up towards the end zone. And I'm like, the defensive back, tackle the guy. You're beaten. You have no idea where you are. Instead, 40-yard touchdown. He ends up finding the ball at the end and tries to fight it out of his hands, but can't get it. It's like, take the 15 yards. You guys already gave up another one. That's a touchdown. That was a great throw, by the way, by Bennett. And it was a great response to the possession that was dubious at best off of the fumble that we spoke of earlier that remained a fumble. I don't know, but it always goes back to, well, what did they rule on the field? And is there enough to overturn? And in this case, they decided, well, no, it's inconclusive. So setting up Alabama for their touchdown drive. But Georgia comes back in full force. What, three of three, 68 yards on that drive for Bennett.
Bryce Young just incomplete over the middle on 3rd and 12. So Alabama's going to be punting the football back to Georgia. Just under 8 minutes left to go in this game. And the Bulldogs, with a 1-point lead, they are this close to a national championship. And so far, it's been Georgia's defense that has been the MVP. Being able to turn Bryce Young into a guy who looks scared in the pocket, trying to make throws. He's not stepped in. They've gotten in his head. This has been some kind of job by Georgia's defense so far. Again, still ways to go. Still got 7 minutes left, and it's basically a tie game. But Georgia's defense really, really playing extremely well. So we'll have more on this game continuing on throughout the night. But it was Black Monday in the NFL, and we saw many openings across the league. Look, we've talked about the Bears and that blank show, the Dolphins and the Vikings, which is a really good opening. But there is comedy, and then there's what we saw in New York today with the Giants, where Dave Gettleman gets to retire after 4 really bad years running the Giants. I'm going to retire. Now we're firing you. Can I retire first? Yeah, go ahead. That's fine. And then Joe Judge, who was lucky to be able to even still be the coach today, may not be the coach going forward because you don't know who the GM coming in. But he actually said he wants input on who the next GM is. Like, he's basically said, okay, so now I'm staying. So now I want input on these things. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he wants to actually be the quarterback too. Maybe he wants a piece of ownership. I don't know. Maybe he wants but to watch that Joe Judge stuff today going, oh my goodness, the Giants. If there is anything that you any time that you think, boy, you know, the Giants are going to straighten up and figure things out. No, not after today. Not after the Gettleman run, which was so bad, and now Joe Judge, who is staying after 2 really bad years, and now he's basically acting like he's Belichick. Yeah, you know, this is how important I am to this team. I want say on all the next things coming up. Dude, you're lucky you have a gig right now.
I like the bravado. Wait, they didn't fire me. It was 9 a.m. Eastern time. Everybody else getting notified. I'm still here. So here's my 37-part plan to take over more responsibility and be the guy that I want to. Look, you know, you got young quarterbacks. I talked about it with Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, right? He says he wants a piece of it. Some folks don't agree. It's like, You want a guy you want to work with, right? If you're Shad Khan, it's not, hey, my way or the highway guy. That's not going to work. And Trevor Lawrence is supposed to just say, okay, yeah, this is it. No, I don't know. It's got to be there's got to be a relationship there. And I use that word because clearly that was the issue down in Miami that we're coming to find. But for Joe Judge, after that debacle yesterday, I saw people putting it out there. I don't even remember who, so I can't give proper credit. A lot of folks were putting up all the things Costanza did to try to get fired by the Yankees. like he wanted out. Instead, he's like, wait, you're not going to fire me? Okay, then I want more. And look, like part of it is, and Gettleman conveniently resigns slash retires, right, as opposed to getting a pink slip, even though we all knew that was going to, you know, about 99% likely. Look what he did. They brought in Kadarius Toney. He was hardly on the field. And they paid a king's ransom for a guy coming off a huge injury, limited to 5 games, in Kenny Golladay, who scored 0 touchdowns. Toney, as a receiver, 0 touchdowns. That's a lot of assets and capital and everything to have little to no production out of those two spots. Let alone, we've talked about the run game and Saquon Barkley trying to come back to health and, you know, down the stretch, final 2 games, they finally just said, all right, keep tucking the ball into his gut. But by then, all right, nothing there. And so, and Daniel Jones got hurt, so it's been, all right, spin the wheel and see who's going to be under center. So for Joe Judge, while you could try to give him an incomplete, it's also been grossly mismanaged on his side as well. But conveniently, Gettleman walks off so they can just pile it all on him or try to.
Look, I'll tell you who the Giants are, right? There's two things, and you hear me say this a lot, is that they're a sports Stonehenge, right? Like Stonehenge, this relic from the past that nobody understands why it's so important, but it was so important for so long, and nobody really gets it. Why is Stonehenge here? Why is it? Nobody gets it. But it's a relic, and from a bygone era that you say, oh, man, I remember that. Like Indiana basketball, right? Penn State football, right? New York Islanders hockey. All these programs that set the tone for so long, but it was so long ago, right? And he's like, oh, wow, what a relic. That's the Giants, okay? The Giants are the latest once proud heritage team that always did it right. They've disappeared because they still ran the team like it's the 1990s. And this is why Gettleman was terrible and why the Giants have stunk, because everything the Giants did was rooted in, this is how we did it with Bill Parcells and Lawrence Taylor and going to Super Bowl, so we're going to continue to do it. Everything they've done. Gettleman's reign was awful, right? He couldn't handle the media. Right? That's number one thing. Couldn't handle the media, right? Didn't draft or sign free agents well. All right, now that's a normal thing that happens with everybody. But look at some of the things they did. We're going to build this team around a running back. This is something that you did in 1992 and 1995 when you had Emmitt Smith or Barry Sanders or Terrell Davis. You don't build around a running back now because you don't know if he's going to be healthy enough. And
well,
what happened?
To be fair, they did go get the quarterback, you know, following that.
Right, but that was a bad decision. Look, Gettleman's
But that's the point. Is that you tried to now couple those two, and neither's right. Worked out. One injury and inconsistency.
But your whole strategy was Saquon Barkley's going to be is a once-in-a-generation running back, and we have no choice but to take him number 2 overall in the draft, and we're going to build around a running back. And nobody does that anymore because every team understands, boy, build around a running back, he gets hurt, you're screwed. Ooh, man, we're not going to do that, but that's the Giants wanted to do. Right now, this is what we're doing. We are going to build around a running back. And where has that gotten them? Barkley's not been able to stay on the field. And when he has been healthy, he has looked okay sometimes. And then he's looked invisible at times. He's just a guy. Okay, he's just a guy at running back. But this is how the Giants did it in the 90s. So we're going to continue to do it. We did it in the 90s. We did it in the 2000s with Tiki Barber. When we went, we're going to continue to do it. We're going to continue to build around. You don't do it that way. Got to build around a quarterback, right? But you can't. And you stick with your plan way too long, right? This is the Giants. We're going to stick with our plan all the way through, like we used to do 20, 30 years ago, because it takes a while. We build a team and we sustain that success. They stuck with losing plans for so long, and I don't understand why. You have to understand that after a couple of years, if something's not working, it's not just going to suddenly get better year 3 and not get better enough to win. And if you show the tiniest bit of growth, you're really going to give it year 4, and then suddenly you're in 4 years of this is awful. Wait a minute. I don't understand. You have to make decisions faster. This is the NFL in 2021. The NFL and other leagues have become year-to-year leagues. You have 1 year of a rebuild before everybody wants results, right? The Jets got a pass this year because everybody was new, right? They were the youngest team in the NFL, new quarterback, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, new everything, new skill position players, new players everywhere, young players that were going to struggle, right? The Jets get this year to suck. That's it. Now, next year, if it doesn't work, guess what? Robert Saleh's gone. Joe Douglas is gone. The Jets are looking for a new quarterback, and we're starting because this is how it goes in the NFL. You don't just stick with something for 4 years saying, we got to wait for four. No, if it's not working after two, it's done. And the Giants have stuck with bad plans for way too long. This is why the Giants are where they are. They are a sports Stonehenge. They are still stuck with doing things like we did it in the 80s and the 90s when we were great. And now they need somebody to come in outside of New York to say, this is how we have to do it, and we're going to do it my way. And because my way is 2021 NFL friendly, and Giants, I'm sorry, you're not NFL friendly. The Giants, you know what the Giants are? The Giants are the casino in the cooler. Right? They're the casino in the cooler where, are we making money? Yeah, but you're not making enough money. You're doing well? Yeah. And Ron Livingston saying, dude, we got to do more. We got to modernize things. We got to make it something. No, we're doing okay. No, you're really not. Other casinos are making so much more money and they're doing so much better. No, we're doing fine. Look what happened to Alec Baldwin at the end. Sorry, spoiler alert. That's the Giants. They are so stuck in the past and they need that big jump start into NFL 2021. And that's why the next hire needs to be, okay, I'm a GM, and a GM's got to come in with his own head coach. You can't come in and say, okay, I'm going to try to make it work for a year with Joe Judge, because then you're saying, okay, with a new quarter, are you going to really try one more year with Joe Judge and Daniel Jones, really? Giant fans are going to say, sorry, not go to the games. I'm completely tuning out if you try to come back with that again. So it really needs to be a clean sweep. Joe Judge has done nothing to show you that he can turn things around another year. He doesn't know who the players are going to be, anything. It's not worked with what he has. You got to come in and say, okay, here's a coach. Here's his new chance. Here's his new quarterback. Everything is new. Somebody that makes a big splash, that is not afraid to make big moves in the offseason. And yes, certain things are in the NFL are beholden to everybody. You got to do well in free agency. You got to draft well. But the strategy of the Giants is so rooted in the past, it's no wonder they don't win.
Well, but that's it. Gettleman, believe it or not, was only there from 2018 on. And like I say with quarterbacks, I said it, with the Bears defended the drafting of Trubisky. Just know that if it goes horribly wrong, you're out. 29 and 21 as a starter, but decided that he was gone. And what does that mean? That as the GM and everybody, you have to go. And likewise for Gettleman, everything has kind of turned to mush under your regime. And that, again, that third nine quarterback sneak's really the only play that matters. That embodies his work to date for Joe Judge.
Twitter it out about a fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, my best friend in the world. How's that? Is that better, buddy?
That's better. That's good.
All right. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company, and that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, when you hear our voices next, is Alabama tying the game and we're going to overtime, or are we crowning the Bulldogs the national champions in college football? Keep it right here. Jason and Mike, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Well, get ready for Georgia Bulldogs, your national champions of college football. It is 33-18, Georgia just returning a pick six for a score to salt the game away. There is less than 1 minute left to go, and Bryce Young, three plays in a row, tries to go deep. Two were horrendously bad decisions into coverage. One was a drop ball, but this last one, Ringo returns it 79 yards for a touchdown, and now with 54 seconds left, Georgia has a 15-point lead. They're going to beat Alabama. They're going to be the national champions. And I'll tell you what, Mike, I've talked all night about the credit that Georgia's defense deserves. Look, Stetson Bennett has played well. Georgia has played well enough. But what they've done defensively, even though Bryce Young is still thrown for 320 and a touchdown and two picks, Bryce Young has been bad. He has been bad tonight in a I can't adjust to what Georgia is doing kind of way. Like it reminds you of one of those like the Patriots Rams Super Bowl where Jared Goff still kept trying to make the same plays and couldn't do it, or the Chiefs Super Bowl against the Bucks last year where the Chiefs just kept trying to do the same thing over and over again and it wasn't working because the Bucks were dialed in defensively. Everything Georgia's done tonight has made Bryce Young uncomfortable, and Alabama has not been able to adjust at all. They've had guys in his face. He's throwing off his back foot. He's not stepping into throws. He's not confident. He sees rushers when they're there. He sees rushers when they're not there. And it has been amazing that Alabama's been able to bend this close because Bryce Young has been bad, and it's all Georgia being able to do this to him. This is some kind of national championship job against the Heisman Trophy winner.
Well, I mean, don't discount Alabama's defense for the most part had held up, right? Until, well, it suddenly became a shootout. And let's face it, the hankies started to come out. Not excuse making, just reality. A couple of pass interference calls, one where you had an Alabama defender just tackle the guy because he knew he was beaten. And then that drive finished with the touchdown pass where, you know what, probably should have tackled the guy in the end zone on a free play. Didn't get it. Even on this last possession, though, that ends with Ringo, the greatest of the Beatles, with a pick six, that he throws it up. The play before, wide receiver's got to catch that ball. Either lost it in the light, got confused, whatever the case was, didn't get his second hand up. He should have walked into the end zone, got separation. Safety was nowhere to be found. I mean, that was a beautiful ball by Young that goes as another incompletion. And then he throws the interception, trying to find Trishon Holden, and he underthrew him. And then the convoy started, and Ringo, instead of sliding down, said, I got an opportunity. And then you saw one of the receivers from Alabama get absolutely lit up as Ringo got into the end zone. But, yeah, good job by both defenses. Just Georgia able to sustain. I know on the broadcast a lot of, well, what could have been with Jameson Williams? Well, you know what? He got injured. It's unfortunate, but that's part of football. Right? Attrition is part of the game, and unfortunately trying to step up and Young forcing it. You also didn't think you'd have Young throwing the ball 54 times tonight, did you?
No, didn't think
you
so.
Thought you're like they ran the ball 22 times, Robinson, but just 68 yards. Weren't able to do anything with it to sustain drives. A couple of them, it looked like with a third down conversions, maybe you'd be able to get a little bit of a lean, maybe get a little wearing down, but that was not the case. That front seven is ferocious as when the game began.
Hey, look, in Alabama, look, maybe they make a couple more plays if their receivers were there, but they're not. This is still Alabama. This is just really it's shocking trying to watch Alabama do the same things over and over again, expecting something different. Bryce Young trying to force the football where he couldn't and thinking we can still. No, you got to adjust. This is the national title game and you have to figure out a different way to do things. And Alabama kept doing it and they couldn't get Bryce Young out of his head with Georgia rushing him the way they did. They had free linebackers coming in. They were disguising their blitzes. They were getting through all night. This has been a masterstroke of a game for Georgia. You look at the stats and go, oh, okay. No, this has been a masterstroke of a game defensively for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, Ja'Cory Brooks gets the other hand up. We may be having a different conversation, but it's all moot after the 79-yard interception return.
If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. That's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. That's discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, coming up next, we will crown a national champion in college football. Keep it here, Fox.